Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah,
all for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
People do tend to, you know, when someone badmouths someone, right? Mm-hmm. Or someone's like, you know, they get immediately ostracized or fired or whatever. Like they get let go or they kind of get walled out. If they're not on board with the Valentine's Day themed fish fry or something silly, you know? And I think we do that. We do that in the Catholic world as well. It's like, if you're going to identify as Catholic, you have to also do all of these. You have to be completely on board or you're not welcome. And that, I think the Shia LaBeouf situation is a better example. It's like, yeah, this guy has now deemed himself as one of us, but he's not doing this. He's not doing this. So he must not really be Catholic. Mark Wahlberg, he says he's Catholic, but he's not doing this, this, and this. So he must not really be Catholic. Or Kanye says he's Christian, but he's not doing this, this, and this. So he must not really be Christian. And it's just, I think, it comes down to the fact that we don't want people to be Catholic. We want people to agree with us.
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that will see you at home for dinner. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. The Crunch is a podcast Ethan and I started 7 years ago where we sit down, have a topic, conversation about the faith, and goof off, mostly the goofing off thing. We think more people should have conversations like this, and we are glad you're here. Ethan, what did that mean?
You know, we'll be home for dinner.
Yeah.
And you could, when you get back after a long, hard day in the fields, we've got a nice little content meal cooked up for you.
A nice little podcast ready for you. Yeah, ready to go.
Yeah. This is a ready-to-eat TV dinner of a show.
You just pop us
in the microwave, rip off the foil or whatever it is that they had on that, and you can turn on Gunsmoke and enjoy us and Wyatt Earp or whoever it is.
I did want to talk about this on the bonus podcast. You can go to patreon.com/thecrunch to get access to that bonus podcast. But we're in the same outfit because we recorded it just before this.
Back to work.
I don't know if we're still in that period where people complain a lot about, you know, and it's fair, you know, there's seed oils and everything.
There's
high fructose corn syrup and everything. There's processed garbage and everything.
There is.
However, things have gotten better.
Which is crazy.
There was a period from like the 1960s to now where people were just eating poison in more copious amounts than we consume it currently.
They just had all of the leftover gases and poisons from World War I and World War II that they were like, well, we can't use these on European boys anymore, so why don't we put them in pork chops and feed them to the American public, and it'll probably be fine. And then we put lead in our paint. And then we can teach them to pour motor oil in the ground, and then we can start putting fluoride in the water. You know, that's a cool idea that we've come up with. And it just, you know, this is what happens. It's not a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. They can just put fluoride on your teeth if it's that important.
They do. When you go to the dentist, they're like, would you like to do a fluoride rinse? It's not covered by insurance. It's going to be $15. I'm like, no. If it was actually good for me, then my insurance would cover it, dog. I'm not going to.
That's true.
I don't know if that's true either, but I'm not going to take your little plastic cup of dreams and swish it around in my mouth just because you've poked around.
They paint it on now.
Oh, they do? I always used to have to do the swish.
Yeah, the swish is old. They don't.
Yeah, it's old school. I guess they do the paint on. But I don't want them to paint fluoride onto my teeth. That just sounds like a crazy thing to do, generally. Right?
I don't know.
Am I wrong?
Teeth is important. Having your teeth is important.
You got to have them, but I don't think poisoning myself to keep my teeth, it's like if I lose all of my mental faculties, but I've still got teeth, I'd rather be a gummy guy with a fully operational brain, you know, than teeth to the brim.
Especially because now they can just make you new teeth. It's not a big deal.
That's true. But they could have done, they'd do that before. Dentistry back in the day. No, they would take dead people's teeth and they would assemble them into dentures. And then they would. What?
I think that's not good. I would prefer synthetic teeth.
But they didn't have synthetic teeth back in the day. This is why there were grave robbers. It was just a bunch of denture makers that would be like, they were looking for the best teeth to sell to. Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know if that's true at all. But George Washington, his teeth were made out of like cow teeth or something, you know?
Something like that.
Yeah. So it's like they moved on. They were like, what if we actually made them just from other human teeth? And everyone's like, oh, we should have started with that instead of just going straight to cows for some reason.
People get on the Catholic Church for relics, but we've got George Washington's teeth on display at at his old house.
That is gross.
His old stomping ground.
Yeah.
You know? And that guy's not even in heaven.
Why don't we sell George Washington's house and give the money to the poor?
To the poor, yeah. I don't understand.
What are we doing? This doesn't make any sense. Sell the White House.
I like making jokes that revered historical figures are in hell. I think that's fun.
Who's the most famous person that's commonly seen as good that you think is in hell?
C.S. Lewis.
Betty White.
Nice. Yeah, that's fair.
And I'm not backing down from that position. You know, there's no way she was in show business for that long and she didn't like kill a couple kids with her Lincoln, you know, and have it covered up by her studio or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't care if you were a golden girl. You're not in my books.
Not in my book.
Betty.
Yeah, you can't have been in show business 100 years ago. Like, you can't have been in show business during Great Gatsby times and not killed someone while drunk driving.
Exactly.
That's how they initiated you before they figured out that weird sex stuff was much more efficient.
That's why they used to not have talkies. It wasn't because they didn't invent the microphone. It's because all the actors were like, I killed a guy last night and I need help. Please.
They couldn't let him talk.
And so someone would be like screaming at the camera and it'd be like, I dare say it's a beautiful day outside at the bottom caption, but they're really just begging for a sweet release from this show.
We should all vote for Herbert Hoover.
I sure do love all of the new developments in West Hollywood. And he's like crying, begging for, he's like pointing a gun, like, please help me. Anyway, that's funny. I wish we could have been, you and me could have made billions in the silent film era.
I would wager that is not true because
why?
No one had $1 billion back then.
Okay, whatever. Hundreds
you
of
mean
dollars.
Millions.
Whatever the equivalent of billions.
We could have made hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
One of my favorite jokes with my mom is when she mentions how much something costs, and I was like, yeah, back then that was worth like $1 million. It's fun when they get up there.
They do get up there in years. Yeah. You can make fun of them. Who was I talking to that was old the other day? Oh, we have new neighbors that moved in across the street. They're my parents' age, which is kind of funny. So it's like us and my neighbors, we're all like in our late 20s. We've got young kids.
They have no idea they just moved on the same street as a Catholic cult.
Yeah. We'll get them eventually. When we start doing the rituals out of doors instead of inside.
All we got to do is get them to hit a kid with their car. And then
now that the equinox is approaching, we can start doing the rituals outside again. And they'll see.
They'll see.
They don't know what we're up to on the inside. You think one of my neighbors is going to hit my car? He's a cop. So hopefully there's not going to be a lot of you know, maybe him parking his cop car, you know, in the driveway.
Oh yeah.
Will like reduce tomfoolery, because there is quite a bit of tomfoolery that happens in my neighborhood. There is a small contingent of men,
of youths. Oh, okay.
Of youths that there are four wheelers and motorcycles, and they just ride them up and down our street very fast.
Oh,
and we have a lot of really young kids, and I want to get one of those little fluorescent boys with the flag.
You could probably get speed bumps.
Yeah. Well, I was also thinking maybe like a bucket of nails, like when you hear them coming. But I don't know, like, they'll probably put two and two together, like, oh, right in front of this guy's house, there were just a bunch of fresh nails that on the ground. I wonder where these came from. So
you could probably install a speed bump. There, I don't know how strict.
Can you just put a speed bump in the ground?
You can.
Okay.
The cop might get you, but that, again, that might solve the problem.
Right. That's true.
But you can do it. If they'll let you keep it is another story. You just got to do it far enough away from anyone's house so they don't go, oh, this guy put this speed bump there. You know, because the reason why they're going on your street is because it's a long straight drag. So if you just make it, if you just put an obstacle that prohibits them but not you from driving on it, then you're good.
Yeah.
You know, there was a story of someone who put a speed bump down in front of their house. They got in trouble with the city. But I don't know if the city code of Arcadia is very strict.
Yeah, I don't think they clearly not, because there are people riding four-wheelers illegally up and down the
streets.
At all hours of the day.
But and you know how it is. The person who hits first never gets in trouble. It's the person who hits back, you know?
That's true. It's like school all over again.
That's what I taught my middle schoolers.
My dad always said that if I was sticking up for myself in a fight, that I would never get in trouble at home, even if I got in trouble at school. And I was like, thanks, Dad. I wasn't really a scrapping boy, so it didn't really apply ever. But I always knew that if it ever came to fisticuffs, I could.
You could.
Who knows if that was the reality, though? Odds are, I would come home and I would just get grounded.
one of my proudest moments as a middle school youth. You don't see a lot of victories as a middle school youth minister. It's a lot of like, hey guys,
losses.
Be good, and they're like, I'm gonna vape, and it's like, no, please don't do that.
Please don't vape. Please don't put anything of your body on Snapchat.
And they just do anyway. Yeah. So I was talking to this one. I was talking to this one girl, because she was in trouble at school. She got suspended for 9 days, which a 9 day suspension in public school parlance is if you f up one more time, you're failing. Because 9 day suspension is the max. Like 9 days absence is max.
What did she do?
So it was precisely what she did not do. So. The 2 weeks prior at youth group, kids were throwing water bottles on the wall. And I went over and yelled at them. And a bunch of kids were like, hey, we didn't do it. It was them, blah, blah. And so I got up in front of everyone. I said, hey, this is just a life lesson. I yelled at you because people next to you were doing bad things. And so I assumed that you were doing it too. Now, that was wrong of me. However, in life, if you are next to someone doing something wrong, everyone will assume you are doing it too, and it doesn't matter if they're wrong because you could go to jail.
Yes.
So I was like, this is a serious, like, if you see someone that's doing something wrong, you don't have to tell on them, but you should walk away. Like, if you don't want to tell on them, you should still walk away. And so 2 weeks later at Edge, this girl comes up, she's like, I had suspended, blah, blah, blah. She tells me the scenario, and I was like, what happened? And she was like, well, I was in the bathroom and some girls were vaping, but I really had to go to the bathroom, and someone busted the girls and I got in trouble. And I'm all mad. No. She was mad at the teacher, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, what could you do differently next time? And she was like, oh, I should have walked away because I was going to, like you said, I was going to get in trouble. And I was like, yeah, there you go. You learned. This is good.
Dang.
This is
That's
huge. But that was a
so
big
so annoying. Like, can't you do vape math and be like, there's four girls here and three vapes. And one girl is nice and never does anything wrong. And the other three girls are known vapers.
I don't think she never does anything wrong.
Oh, okay. Well, I was assuming the best in this girl, but
I think she wanted to hang out with the girls who were vaping.
She didn't want to be seen as a loser.
Mm-hmm.
Which
so she's like, I'm not going to vape, but I'm going to hang out.
But
so
yeah,
cool.
I'm not going to vape, but I will drop acid with you guys. Maybe do you guys have any mushrooms? that we could do? Cybocillin?
I don't even know what that is.
I think I might have said it wrong. What's another drug? It's actually funny. It's so funny if you're like a 12-year-old girl to go into a bathroom and like see some girls like vaping, not even like weed, just like doing nicotine vape. And then and being like, "Do you guys have any ketamine?" Just asking.
That's what I should tell them. Like,
so funny. Just like just immediately up the ante. Yeah. Oh, we're vaping? You guys, I got some ket in my locker. Do you want to, you know?
I think I got a couple of Zanny bars in my bag if you want some.
Yeah.
You can just
keep daring them to do harder drugs with you. And then
Would you like to take 0.3 grams of fentanyl with me? The legal limit, the lethal dose is 0.29.
Yeah.
You want to try some?
What are you scared? You scared of the teachers? Yeah.
You think the teachers are going to get you for doing fentanyl in the bathroom?
For doing fentanyl? Because I guarantee you, it's not the teachers that's going to get you. It's the fentanyl.
It's the fentanyl. I was teaching him incorrect. I was trying to teach him how to be, stay out of trouble. But what I should have done was I should have taught him how to reform, scare those kids straight so that the trouble never comes to you, because they're like,
you
got to
be so cool.
You got to. Like that one kid in middle school that I knew that stuck a needle through his tongue for fun.
Wow.
I've told you that story, right?
Probably. Why? I mean, I don't think there's much to the story. It sounds like he just stuck a needle through his tongue.
We were doing the needle thing where you like put it through your skin and like, I got a needle in my skin. Oh no. And he was called us the P word and then took a needle and then shoved it through his tongue.
Dude.
And it was like
crazy.
Bleeding. And then the next day he came in with like a tongue stud in. Like he was like, I committed to it. I'm doing it.
Wow.
Yeah. It was awesome.
When I was in middle school, two things happened of note. One, a girl lit a tampon on fire and threw it into the trash can, and we all got out of class for like 2 hours. Just like outside.
That's the most middle school thing I've heard. That sounds like it's from a middle school movie.
It was, and we were just like, we were just all sitting there, and it's not like we were watching Roots in history class, so it's not like we were doing anything. We were like watching a TV show. And it's like, oh darn, now we're outside.
Hey, that's the guy from Reading Rainbow.
Yeah. And the other time is I noticed this. I went into the bathroom once, and I went into the stall, and someone had graffitied, you know, something to the effect of like, I'm gonna kill all the teachers, kill, 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 murder, kill, whatever.
What is it, the Basilisk from Harry Potter?
It was very much an edgy teenager's idea of a scary message. And I saw it, and I was like going to the bathroom, and I was looking at it, and I was like, okay, dude. Like, even when I was 12, I was like, you're not going to kill anybody. I promise you that. And I just went and told the teacher, I was like, yeah, there's some graffiti in there. It seems pretty violent, but it was done in Sharpie. So like, take that for what you will. And the next day I went in, and it was all scrubbed away. The janitor had taken care of
the
it.
The janitor probably took
so,
care of it.
And no teachers died. So
that is good. That is good. Yeah. The craziest thing that happened in my middle school was that someone came onto campus carrying a gun. But
really?
That happened often. Yeah.
On purpose?
I don't know if that was on purpose, but that did happen once, and it was right when school, it was like in 2012.
Yeah.
It wasn't 2012. It must have been 2010, 2011. But school shootings were like not as big of a deal. Yeah. But they were like still a big deal. They weren't like all happening all the time, you know?
Right. Like now.
Like now when they happen all the time.
I remember hearing stories about like a guy who's like goes to high school and he's got like the shotgun in the back of his truck or whatever. And he like gets expelled from school. But it was just like he had hunted with his dad that weekend and just didn't take it out of his truck. Things like that I feel like are crazy. Like that should not be, that shouldn't be how it happens. And also like if a kid accidentally, I don't know how you accidentally bring a gun onto campus, but like.
Accidentally bringing a gun to campus if you're a hunter and it's in the back of your truck makes sense.
But accidentally like putting a gun in your pants and carrying it into first period is different to me.
No, I think it was like a parent had walked into the office and forgot they were open
and just
carrying.
Just had a gun. Okay. That's silly. You know? It's like, you know, if someone is not a kind operator, because they're not going to just be like, how you doing? Like openly showing their gun. You know, I'm here to check
out. If someone walks into the front office, like carrying a gun and you're not dead, they're probably not going to kill you.
Exactly.
They are, you are now less vulnerable than you were 10 seconds ago, right before they walked in. They could have walked in and just shot you. Exactly. Anyway. But now the second craziest thing was like, it's along that vein. Boy Scout kid forgot that his backpack had a pocket knife in it.
And, oh,
yeah. Not expelled. He got like suspended or something.
Right.
But it's like, if you're going to, why are you suspending him for the knife? Like, just take it.
Just take the knife.
And then give it back to him at the end of the day.
Or it'd be like the TSA and just throw it away.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. My Leatherman. RIP.
You lost your Leatherman to the TSA?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah, and I was like, they're like, you can go mail it back to yourself. And I was like, oh, okay, can I like get back in line? They're like, no, you made a mistake, and so you have to wait in line. And I was like, hey, don't lecture me.
You're not my dad.
I'm an adult.
You are a government employee, and I pay your salary.
You work for me, actually.
You work for me, actually.
Also, I'm the one who has a knife, so she'd probably be nicer to me.
That's true. That's good. Yeah, you tell those TSA, you threaten those TSA agents, buddy.
Yeah,
how that goes.
They're the first line of defense. All right. Yeah. They took my Leatherman and my peanut butter.
The thick turns blue
out,
line.
Turns out peanut butter was not a good place to put my Leatherman.
No,
looking more suspicious.
Not. Yeah.
but yeah.
Okay. Well, I've got something that's been on my mind.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Yeah, you saw the Cabrini movie.
I saw the Cabrini movie.
Mother,
and more importantly,
Mother Cabrini helped me park my machine. That's what we say in the parking lot.
She had nothing to do with cars when she was alive.
Some people say, Hail Mary, full of grace, help me find a parking space. But my sister-in-law taught me to say, Mother Cabrini, help me park my machine.
My machine. Can you do that for any other saints?
I mean, Fulton Sheen also rhymes with machine.
Machine. Who rhymes with car or truck? Saint. There's not really many.
Name a saint. Just
Thomas Aquinas. Name a saint.
Thomas Aquinas, the parking space find us.
There you go.
There we go. Yeah,
we can do this all day. How about Saint Ignatius of Loyola?
Ignatius of Loyola,
help me park my Toyota.
My Corolla.
My Corolla also works.
I drive a Corolla, so that works.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. This is going to be the podcast for the next 25 minutes. So if you don't want to be a part of this, you can just turn it off.
Could you imagine? Just like naming. Dudes will just get together and name saints. And, oh, man.
I did this with my old roommate, Sam. We would get together and we would do different variations of the word Subaru. So like probably talked about this on the podcast before, but like,
no.
Oh, we would like point at the color blue and be like, oh, there goes my blue Baru. And then where we would find some cheese and be like, we could melt that down. We could get into the fondue Baru. And we would just do that. We would do that for hours. We would just sit there and go back and forth.
That's
just
great.
Trying to find different ways to do the, Super Udo.
That's like dudes who do the I hardly know her with everything.
Yeah.
You know? Nick Sciarappa.
But we were way funnier than those guys, for sure.
You're not funnier than Nick Sciarappa.
Who?
Nick Sciarappa. He does that all the time.
I don't know. Great. I'm not familiar with his game.
You're not familiar with the Nicholas Sciarappa?
I went to go see the Cabrini movie. And more importantly, I saw a bunch of tweets and takes about the Cabrini movie. And I'm here I'm here to maybe open up a conversation about religious films. I don't want to talk about Cabrini specifically because Patrick hasn't seen it, and so that would suck. And some of you guys haven't seen it, so that would suck. But I think this is a good test
case. Bug Hall is in it.
He is?
Yeah.
Who is he?
He yelled some anti-Italian slurs.
Oh, really?
I think that was him.
Was that him? I remember there's a scene at the very beginning where this guy, you know, smacks a newspaper out of Mother Cabrini's hands and calls her a guinea pig. Ooh.
Is that something that's
a slur against Italians.
I haven't heard that one.
I think it's an old school slur.
Some old school slurs have become like just normal words in
now we just call that hamsters. Hamsters are now just Italian slurs.
The term, I believe there's a term in Australia that
there's lots of terms in Australia, I've been saying.
I think the term WAP used to be a much more offensive term for Italians that people in Australia just call Italians.
I think it just is that. It's like it is a slur against Italians. So if you say it mean, you know, sure. But I think you can just, I don't know. We're still probably about 5 years away from not being able to say WAP. I think we'll get there, but we might. Who knows?
All that has to happen is that like the Greeks have to become a little more like minority status, and then because they're still pretty Eastern European,
right?
Yeah.
Anyway, Bug Hall was in the movie. I thought the movie was fine. I didn't think it was the best movie of all time, and so in my defense of this film today, I don't want anyone to think like, oh, Ethan has bad taste in movies. I've got great taste in movies. Okay.
You clearly don't understand film.
Cinema. I do. Someone told me that on Twitter and it actually made me mad. Catholics don't have an understanding of film. And I'm like, dude, you're actually talking to one of the ones that I've seen a lot of movies and I like learning about movies and reading about movies and studying movies. Like it's one of my things that I like. And so the fact that you're coming after me, wrong place, wrong time.
Man saw Casablanca and was like, I understand cinema.
I thought the movie was fine. I didn't think it was the best movie of all time. I thought it was a little sentimental. I do think some of the characters were a little bit one-dimensional. But I thought overall, like, it did its job, right? It's like, I think that's how you have to evaluate a movie. It's like, did it do what the director was setting out to accomplish, right? Yes. I think in this case, they were trying to make an inspirational movie about a Catholic nun that could appeal to non-Catholics. And I think they succeeded in that goal, despite it being, you know, somewhat flat in some different parts.
Yeah.
Like it was maybe a little bit long. Some of the male characters were a little bit stereotypical, you know, just stereotypically racist or stereotypically sexist. There wasn't much talk of Jesus, which we'll get to. So that's like, there's some legitimate criticisms, but I thought it was fine. I think the issue comes from, especially with Catholics and their relationship with media, I think that there is an all or nothing mentality that I think has crept in. And okay. I think this is really what bothers me is like there needs to be more movies that are about good things. It's like, this is a movie about a woman who moved to another country where she didn't speak the language so that she could feed and take care of orphans. Okay. To me, that's an extremely Christian thing. And she's presented as a Christian. She's presented as a Catholic. But because she doesn't pray specific Catholic prayers, or because she doesn't talk about baptism, or because the mass isn't in the movie, people are like, it's just not Catholic. And I'm like, it's a movie about a nun that travels across the world to take care of the sick and the orphaned.
Yeah.
Is that not Catholic enough for you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What else do you need for it to be a Catholic movie?
Well, they need all of the, this was my point, and people got mad at me for this, but like people just want a Catholic version of God's not dead, you know, where it like,
yeah,
it reinforces all of your things about like, oh yeah, I go to mass and I pray in front of the Eucharist and I pray the rosary. And now I'm watching a movie and they're doing the thing that I do. It's me. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
like,
that's what people want. And I
we want Catholic Black Panther. We want what Black Panther was for Catholics.
Yes, exactly.
That's what we need.
And that's like, it's that all or nothing. Like, it has to either be the greatest and includes every single facet of Catholicism and every single aspect has to be great, or else it's not worth making. It's not worth watching. And then people say, oh, this is a religious grift, because there's like this angle of like, this was J.D. Flynn's argument.
We never should have taught normies the word grift.
No,
they don't understand.
This is J.D. Flynn's argument in the Pillar, which I think he had some good points for sure. But he was saying that because the movie is marketed
sandwich.
Yeah. Thank you. I think J.D. had some good points about some of the things I said about the male characters and like the Cabrini's character wasn't very fleshed out. Like, she was pretty one note throughout the whole thing. Even though she did amazing things, she was just kind of a well-formed person at the beginning. It's like, I don't know how you take someone who's already a saint and then make them more of a saint by the end of the film. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that is one of the hard parts about making a movie about people like Jesus or about saints, is because they're just holy. And
yeah, that's why The Chosen isn't about Jesus.
Right.
It's hard to make The Chosen about Jesus because
a 2-hour movie about Jesus, because where does the climax, like, what do you pick?
The only interesting movie about Jesus was an intense depiction of Jesus.
And it was a 2-hour long climax. Like, the whole movie was a highly emotional, powerful thing. It wasn't it's not a traditional film in my perspective. Anyway. So I think JD was right, but one of his critiques was that it was marketed as like a tool for evangelization. And his point was like, I don't think anybody is being evangelized by these movies. But I don't think evangelization is as cut and dry as I saw this movie and now I want to be Catholic. I don't think that is what evangelization is, or because that would be the same as saying, well, this Bible study didn't work because someone came to my Bible study and now they're not instantly reformed. It's like, you can't expect someone to be impacted by an individual experience. I think it needs to take place within a greater context. And I think creating movies like this help create more of a culture and more of a fabric for evangelization to happen, even if this particular movie isn't the greatest movie that's ever existed. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it would be a better tool for evangelization if the case where you mentioned, like, if the situation where, I don't actually know if it's true, the Cabrini character is not as interesting, Mother Cabrini's not as interesting, the characters are kind of one-dimensional. I think it'd be a better tool for evangelization if it was just a really great movie.
Yes,
but
I don't see
anything wrong with, like, a story that's not explicitly Catholic about a Catholic. I think that's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have too much to say about this.
What do you think movies and film and these types of things, do you think it's worth it to make Christian films in the way that people have been making them lately? Where, like,
I think 4-hour long Italian saint movies are really fun.
Uh-huh.
They're fun.
Like, which ones? Like, which ones are you talking about?
I don't know if you know this, but if you go on Formed, there's like a whole subcategory of 4-hour long movies about a saint, and they're not in English. They're just in Italian. You got to watch them on subtitle. But it's something that if you were homeschooled, you probably are familiar with.
Yeah.
Your parents probably made you watch them instead of teaching you. But instead of teaching you math. I think those are fun. I think there's a place for movies in evangelization, because it opens a conversation. One of the issues that we're running into is that the culture is trying to take away our saints. This is, I don't know if you know this, Ethan, but did you know that, hello? Oh, hey.
I'm here.
You good? Okay.
Yeah.
Did you know that Mother Cabrini is one of three saints in the Capitol building? There's three in the statuary.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's Mother Cabrini and Junipero Serra and I think Kateri. I don't know for sure.
Maybe.
But there are saints in the capital statuary, and that's a really cool thing. That's like, oh look, it's like Catholicism is represented here. God bless you. Catholicism is represented here. We're an important, you know, facet of American life, and that's a method of people going, oh wow, look, they, you know, the Catholic Church isn't just a bunch of pedophile priests, which is what I get on Twitter all the time. However, there is a strong contingent of people who want, oh, it's Damian Molokai, it's not Kateri. There are a contingent of people who want to take these missionary priests and missionary religious away from us, as in like take them out of the curriculum, because they're seen as colonizing, right? They're like taking a European religion and they're colonizing it. So like, even though Junipero Serra like stopped a lot of atrocities from happening because he was a priest and he was present during and founded a lot of the cities. I mean, most of the cities in California are named by Junipero Serra and his compatriots, right? Like Sacramento and all this stuff. People want to take him out because they're like, oh, he forcibly converted. Or Damian Molokai, he was a leper. He cared for the lepers on Molokai in Hawaii, and people want to take him. It's like, oh, he colonized and he was forcibly converting people, blah, blah, blah. Mother Cabrini, same thing. And it's, I think it's great for us to have story. Like, here's this story of this person who was motivated by their Catholicism to do a good thing and change people's lives and change America for the better. Because the time period that Mother Cabrini came over to America was not a great time period for orphans.
No.
Yeah, look, here's the American culture that's just steamrolling the poor and the weak. And the only person who's standing in its way is an Italian nun who doesn't speak English. That's a very powerful story. And I think it changes the narrative a little bit. So people aren't like, oh, the Catholic Church has never done anything good. Or even nuns. Nuns have a bad reputation as being demeaning and overbearing. Mm-hmm. That's just because all the nuns you're thinking of are from Boston and New York. That's the conclusion I came to. It's like, the Catholic school nuns are not mean. They were just all in New York and Boston, and people in New York and Boston are mean.
Just mean people. Yeah.
Just mean people. but anyway, it's like that. It's a counter narrative. And I think it's good that these movies exist. I think that if they had more money, they'd be able to pay people who are better at telling stories.
Right. You know? I think that's a good point. I think that ties in with some of the other complaints that I've seen, which is like, I can't believe that there's all these Catholic influencers that are posting about this. And it feels like it's been engineered by a PR firm and it's all designed. It's like, well,
oh, sure.
Yeah. Movies have advertising strategies and campaigns. It would be silly for a movie about a Catholic nun to not take advantage of Catholic influencers to be able to pay them a couple $100 to tell their thousands of followers to go see the movie. So like, when people criticize the advertising campaign for the thing,
they have money to advertise it. They just don't have enough money to make you not realize it's being advertised to you.
Right.
Like the fish girl.
Yeah. You have a problem with the noodle and fish girl from South Alabama?
The AstroTurf noodle and fish girl or the redheaded guy.
I don't think she's AstroTurfed, but I do think that she has a big sponsorship from Black Rifle Coffee Company, who is a Democratic campaign donor, and so I think putting her in the spotlight as a conservative coded woman, but then she secretly comes out with subversive left-wing things is a pretty good strategy to undermine the position of your enemy in an election year. But I don't think she's AstroTurfed.
That's the kind of stuff that costs a lot of money.
That does cost a lot of money, because
people are paying to manipulate you. The people who have more money are doing it better. So if you can tell that an influencer is advertising, I find that to be more ethical. You know, like I was paid to advertise this. I'm talking about it because I do generally like it. You know,
yeah. And we haven't been paid to talk about this movie. I just get so mad when people are like, it is funny that all of the like trad masculine guys are the ones that are getting super upset about this. It's like, man, you're getting really mad about a movie about a lady, and why
Think about the optics here, man.
Yeah. It just is. I just think there should be more movies like Cabrini, and I think that they should get better over time. And I think that criticizing the advertising and then criticizing the presentation of the movie and criticizing that it wasn't Catholic enough, it's like, what does that tell the studio? It doesn't tell the studio, oh, we should just make another one of these and we'll just make it more Catholic. It tells them, oh, people aren't going to pay money to see these no matter what we do because it's never going to be enough for them. And so you're not actually helping us get to where we want to be. You're just poo-pooing something because it isn't exactly what you need at this exact moment.
They did the same studio did the Sound of Freedom movie, which was about a Mormon saint.
Yeah.
And everyone, all Catholics went head over heels for that one. They loved it.
They did.
We are our own worst enemy. That is the case. We do cry about too much. This is something that I've seen in the Catholic Church in general is we're very open and welcoming up until the point that we're more welcome to people that are not us. Mm-hmm. We're more willing to welcome someone in when they are not us. And then once they are us, if they step out of line, we just reject them. Have you noticed this? I find it to be very common, you know, cause like it's the, if that's probably not a good example. I can't talk about that. I'll tell you later, but like I've noticed this in churches, people do tend to, you know, when someone badmouths someone, right. Mm-hmm. Or someone's like, you know, they get immediately ostracized or fired or whatever. Like they get let go or they kind of get walled out. If they're not on board with the Valentine's Day themed fish fry or something silly, you know? And I think we do that in the Catholic world as well. It's like, if you're going to identify as Catholic, you have to also do all of these. You have to be completely on board or you're not welcome. And that, I think the Shia LaBeouf situation is a better example. It's like, This guy has now deemed himself as one of us, but he's not doing this. He's not doing this. So he must not really be Catholic. Mark Wahlberg, says he's Catholic, but he's not doing this, this, and this. So he must not really be Catholic. Or Kanye says he's Christian, but he's not doing this, this, and this. So he must not really be Christian. And it's just, I think it comes down to the fact that we don't want people to be Catholic. We want people to agree with us.
Whoa.
That's we don't want people to have the sacraments. We want people to be like us. I don't want people to be saved. I want people to be like me because I'm understandable to me. I understand me and I agree with me and it doesn't make me uncomfortable. And so I think that's why some of the stuff with the synodality makes me a little tired because I know that a lot of the people that are promoting synodality, the same people, if they found out that I disagree with them on something, they would like call me a rad trad and probably a fascist, you know, and like
which you are.
That's an issue, right? It's like there's, you know, it's synodality for thee, but not for me, you know.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah, and so that's I'm not saying this about JD, by the way, that we've kind of departed from JD's criticisms.
Yeah,
I do think that this is a common thing. I think it's a knee jerk reaction for a Catholic thing because we know what Catholicism is too, and it's not just a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know,
and it's not just these like external, very obviously Catholic things, you know, like to insist that one has to pray the rosary or speak about Jesus in a certain way or talk about the sacraments in a certain way or talk about the liturgy in a certain way in order to be truly Catholic, like alienates most Catholics throughout all of history because there hasn't always been like an understanding. It's possible that Mother Cabrini didn't know as much as we know about the church, you know, like it's possible that she just kind of prayed and knew that Jesus said, you have to love the poor. And that's all she really cared about. You know, I'm not saying that this is the 100% the fact, but I'm saying that this is probably the case for a lot of very holy people throughout all of history, is that they knew the Gospels and they knew Christ, and they knew that that's what they were supposed to do. They probably didn't concern themselves too much with making sure everybody knew that they were Catholic specifically, because the distinction wasn't as pronounced, especially for an Italian woman, right? Like, taking
this
example,
they probably figured out that she was Catholic.
Like, she probably didn't care about proving that she was Catholic, because that was the only thing where she was from. And then when she got to America, she didn't really speak English, and there were poor people to be taken care of. So, like, why would she waste time? It just doesn't make any sense for the movie, with, like, the situation that she's in, for her to spend time doing those things instead of, like, making connections with the people that she's there to serve, you know, with the presumption that ultimately there is going to be evangelization. Like, just because it didn't happen on screen doesn't mean that it didn't happen. And the other thing about this movie is that this movie is going to exist forever now. Now that it's made and it's out, anybody can watch it and stumble upon it. And, like, just because it's not having the impact, the quote unquote, that you think it should have right now, doesn't mean that it won't happen in the future. So, I don't know. It just, it feels like people just want their own wishes fulfilled, and they want to have their little fantasies played out. And that's fine. You can make that movie if you want to, you know. And you can also critique the movie. I'm not saying people are wrong. I think there are a lot of fair critiques about it. And I think there's a lot of fair critiques about a lot of Catholic movies out there. I think Silence is one of the best Catholic movies of all time, but everyone gets their rump in a tump because they're like, Jesus told him to apostatize at the end. And, like, he didn't, but that's my interpretation of the movie, and you can interpret it differently.
Yeah. People also don't like Scorsese.
They don't like him, but I think Scorsese is, I think he's got something. You know, like, he understands the human person really well, and his movies prove it. Like, I don't think the best Catholic movie is, like, those movies in the 50s with the freaking, you know, whatever his name is, Clark Humphreys playing the priest, or
I don't know who that is.
Iva Starlet playing the nun. I don't know the names of these actors, but, like, everyone's like, oh, the best Catholic movies are the ones that came out in the 40s. It's like, sure. Probably not, you know. I think Cabrini is probably more interesting than the whatever the Bell's Tolling movie, you know. Like, I was engaged the whole time. Do you know what I'm talking about? What's the name of the movie with the priest?
For Whom the Bell Tolls.
For Whom the No, that's a Hemingway book. Not I Confess. Diary of a Country Priest. What's the name of the guy, Patrick?
I have no idea.
All right. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You guys get, for those of you that know, you get what I'm trying to say. What are you looking up? You're Googling something right now. I can tell it.
I'm looking, while you're looking that up, I'm fact checking whether Cabrini is in the Statuary Hall. I don't think she is.
Okay. Well, nothing like a good live fact check.
Well, I was trying to just double check and make sure it was the case. Apparently, there are a bunch of Catholics. There are 13 Catholics that are a part of the collection. Newborough Sarah and Damien Molokai are in there, but there's not a Catholic. I think the person that I saw that I thought was Cabrini was Mother Mary Joseph Perisieux, a pioneer missionary and humanitarian representing the state of Washington, serving in Canada originally, the first superior for the Sisters of Charity, which is the same religious order that founded my church, I think.
Nice.
Yes. I don't think she's canonized. No, she is not. But the Sisters of Charity did found a school and a church called Ascension in Melbourne, Florida. So that's fun.
Nice. Well, that's a good fact check to wrap up our episode there, Patrick. What do we have going on? What can the people, how can the people stay connected with us, with you and me?
If you want to stay connected with us, probably the best way to do it is Discord, bit.ly/crunchdiscord. We're in there, we're talking, we're hanging out, we're chatting. There's over 1,000 of our closest friends right there in the Discord. If you want to follow us, we're at the Crunchcast everywhere, at Catholic Pat and at Ethan Stevie on Instagram and Twitter.
We got to talk about this in the next episode, but we're going to be at the Young Catholic Professionals Conference in Dallas in April. If you are not signed up, I think April 27th is going to be the day that we're there. So if you're not signed up, if you're in Dallas, if you're in Texas and you want to come make a trip, we're going to be doing a live show at the Young Catholic yes. Professionals Conference there. We're also going to be at the National Eucharistic Congress. We're doing a live podcast at the National Eucharistic Congress in July. Biggest Catholic event in America in centuries. So you probably want to come and you want to see us there.
It might not beat Denver World Youth Day. It hasn't beaten Denver World Youth Day yet, but it is already 4 times bigger than SEEK.
All right. Well, there you go. So you won't want to miss it. We're going to be at those two big things. We'll talk more about Dallas in future episodes because we want a good crowd there. And maybe we'll do a live show somewhere in a city of your choosing. So let us know in Discord if you want us to do a live show in your city. And also if you have 50 or to 100 friends that you can bring.
And then I guess we got to plug the toolkit on the podcast.
Oh,
it's something that we keep forgetting to do. Ethan and I made a free little thing. We wanted to give you guys something to help talk to your friends about your faith. And so we made something called the Convince Your Friends Toolkit. You can go to crunchcast.com/toolkit and you get it for free. It's free. If you want to pay for it, you can, but it's absolutely free. And then you guys, it's like a little course, you get a little download, a little video with us. We talk about convincing. The video that we did for the toolkit, the conversation you and I had was great. I love it. I've gotten great feedback on it from people. I was surprised at how well that went. So thecrunchcast.com/toolkit, that's all I got.
Patrick doesn't know that I've got skills beyond that which he is aware.
You're not just a pretty face.
I'm not just a slab of meat that you put up here on the podcast to get some, to drive that appeal, you know, the people at the masculine gaze.
That's what I've been
gaze.
Doing this whole time, yeah.
Yeah. But I've got real deep sensitivities, powers,
I
abilities,
bet.
Et cetera. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
Did you know that the Sisters of Mercy is also a rock band? Looks like a heavy metal rock band that was formed in the 80s.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We will be praying for you, and we will see you all next time. Goodbye. Love you.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy so you can protect stuff like this. Or this. Or even this. Case in point. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.